CDO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A scorching heat wave's moving from the Midwest and South eastward. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
Suggestions remain the same. Take as many breaks as you can. Spend as much time indoors with air conditioning as you can. And keep yourself hydrated if you have to be outside.
Russian state media report no survivors among the 49 on board a plane that crashed near the country's eastern border with China. The BBC's David Harper.
The twin propeller Antonov had made one attempt to land at Tinder, close to the border with China, and was making a second approach when it went down in a heavily forested mountain area. Russia's TASS news agency has reported the plane was nearly 50 years old.
Brian Koberger's four-time life sentence has begun a day after families of his four Idaho University student victims spoke out in court.
Steve, why was it important for you to look him directly in the eyes?
I looked him straight in the eyes and I just seen black holes. We've been waiting a long time to say some of those things that needed to be said.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy was at the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh on Tuesday, where he said the recently passed Big Beautiful Bill includes $12.5 billion for modernization of the FAA's air traffic control system. Joanne Krulatz has more.
Duffy said that will include updating the FAA's telecom system and replacing aging radar. Duffy, a former Wisconsin congressman also serving as interim director of NASA, says it will take some time to complete all the work, but it will get done or President Donald Trump will fire me. Duffy also announced a new FAA rule that removes what he called outdated regulations that have impeded innovation and safety in the recreational light sport aviation sector.
In a rare show of bipartisan support, Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican Representative Tony Weed from the 8th Congressional District introduced a bipartisan bill to honor veterans who participated in Operation End Sweep with the Vietnam Service Medal. Participants in Operation End Sweep, a mission to clear dangerous mines in North Vietnam after the war, are currently ineligible for this service medal because their service took place after the United States had officially withdrawn from Vietnam in January 1973. The bill is inspired by retired Navy Commander Michael Cosgrove of Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, who spent 5 months in and out of North Vietnamese waters and received virtually no credit for the work. New duties and tariffs on overseas purchases may hamper your online buying. Lisa Schiller with the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau says it is buyer beware with overseas shopping right now, and that if you need refunds or relief from a U.S. agency, you might be out of luck. Criminals have also been sending out phony messages saying you may owe duties on a package. If you're expecting a delivery, check with the seller or delivery service directly before paying a fee. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
The next step for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Lambeau Field. This will be head coach Matt LaFleur's seventh training camp in Green Bay. And although they've been to the playoffs nearly every year, I asked him, has he thought about what else is there left to do to get to the next step, a Super Bowl?
That's what we're always hunting, is trying to figure out how to get everybody to elevate. Myself, our staff, our support staff, and certainly our players, because they're the ones out there going to play the game. So that is at the forefront of our mind all the time.
Baseball. Brewers with a 10-2 win over the Mariners. The crew has now won 10 games in a row. Whenever they've had pitcher Quinn Priester on the mound.
You know, I attribute a lot of his success to the pace. You know what I mean? Like, he just gets it and goes, gets it and goes, gets it and goes. Doesn't give you a lot of time. There's not a lot of trepidation. There seems like there's a lot of conviction. Ball sinking, and then he's got a little cutter. He's got a little curveball, a little slider, and he's attacking.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Scattered thunderstorms are possible today with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop into the low to mid 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be talking about K-12 public education in this state from the Wisconsin Public Education Network Conference in Green Bay. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Old Falls Radio, WXCO.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here in Madison on this Thursday, July 24th. One more day here in Madison Studio A2, along with producer Parker Olson. And then tomorrow we'll take the show on the road up to Oshkosh and find out what exactly is this air venture thing that's going on with the EAA. But Brittany Merlot is there, so she is off today. She's enjoying all the adventure that comes with air venture. So Chad Holmes is here from 98.9 WXCO. But first, to solve the mystery of coffee from the last hour here.
Oh, boy.
Where, Chad, good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
Okay. So I finished my gas station coffee. And I saw that there was a coffee pot there, and I assumed one of these fine early morning producers, you know, put together a pot. Maybe Parker doesn't drink coffee, but I figured maybe he makes a pot for everybody. I don't know. Maybe Dominic does.
I don't have that know-how.
I poured the coffee, and it was incredibly cold. And I had no idea if it was yesterday's coffee. Does the coffee maker get cool that fast? So I went to go put it into a mug and warm it up in the microwave, and I find this. I have to spin this whole thing 360 degrees. This coffee mug says up north news, and then a little logo right there in the middle. This is not something we made at Up North News. I have no idea where this came from. I can only assume Luke Mathers was dabbling in merchandise, and that this Frankenstein of a coffee mug was one of the early drafts, but it was hidden in the back of a cupboard here in Madison.
I like it.
Chad is not impressed with this.
No,
one
he's
bit.
Not.
No. I'm thinking the only thing missing out of that little circle instead of a Wisconsin, they should have a picture of you on there.
Absolutely. Ooh, yes. Who wouldn't want my mug on a coffee mug?
Speaking of which, I know you're in Madison today.
Yes.
You see all the great signage I have in my studio. Boy, it looks like you're in a closet there.
Well, there's a reason for that. And if you saw all the office supplies and things on that rack over there,
yeah,
you'd understand that's exactly
Tell
where
those
we
folks
are.
To get some signage in there. You know,
well,
Parker did get the
Civic Media banner behind him.
There you go.
I did my part.
He's sitting right in front of me, but behind me, Bupkis. But yeah. And the thing is, I mean, there's flat screen monitors everywhere around here. I mean, you can get these things for, you know, buck and change nowadays. So I'm hoping next time we have one of these here and we have some nice views of Madison.
By the way, you say you're going to Oshkosh. When are you coming to Wausau? That's the question.
That is a good question.
The Kreitlow Wisconsin tour.
I think you need to come to Wausau sometime because I know you're beloved. I just had Nancy Stensel on from the Democratic Party.
Just and, where I was going to go on that is friends
and,
that are there.
She loves Pat Kreitlow.
Well, we love Nancy Stensel, and I was going to bring her up because if you aren't on Facebook following Chad Holmes, you ought to be at WXCO, and he made note that this morning he had Nancy Stensel on. And let's see, yesterday there was Mary, is it Clues or Cluz of the Wausau?
Mary Clues.
Of the Wausau Sustainability, Energy, and Environment Committee. There was also Rob Hughes, a teacher in the Wausau District, sharing his concerns about modern education because he is a Herb Cole Teacher Fellowship winner, talking about his 25-year journey about community support for students. So, I mean, you're not just reading sports scores over there when you're doing these local breaks during our morning show.
And it's always great to talk to interesting people. And speaking of Rob Hughes, not only has he been a teacher in the Wausau District for 25 years, and he was very nice. I think they may have taken away his Herb Cole Fellowship Award because he invited me to speak to his class last week. And I think they're probably saying, what's that all about? But no, he also has an organization called Wausau Area Food for Hope. Mm-hmm. And every Thanksgiving that basically, especially you know, kids that are in the area schools that may be struggling a little bit, who have families who are struggling financially, they raise money and they provide turkeys and ham and really make a Thanksgiving that is much better than it otherwise would be. And we talked about that and people can donate to that. So again, there's a lot of folks out there doing really good things for this community.
That's awesome. And so let's go back to Nancy Stensel and the discussion there.
Well, she one reason that I have her on every other Thursday, number one, but today I wanted to talk a little bit about something that, you know, I think a positive where folks can come together, whether you're Republican or Democrat here. But she is issuing a challenge to the Republican Party here in Marathon County to basically, in the month of September, the first full month of school, to have to help our kids not be hungry in our public schools. And of course, there's disagreement from time to time on tax dollars and public money going to anything when it comes to the schools. But in this case, it's almost a put up time because there are school lunch debts. And that's, and I said to Nancy, I said, if there's anything more depressing as a statement than public school lunch debt, where kids and their families, to avoid being hungry, are in debt for their school lunch.
Yeah.
But the challenge is that in the month of September, for Republicans and Democrats alike to make a donation to one of the area public schools here in Marathon County, whether the Wausau School District or DC Everest and other smaller schools as well, to make a donation to pay off school lunch debt. And then to report that donation to your political party. If you're a Republican, report it to the county Republican Party. If you're a Democrat, report it to Nancy and the Democratic Party. And then at the end of the month, we'll have a scoreboard and see who is able to tally up more in terms of paying off school lunch debt for the kids and their families here in central Wisconsin.
That's awesome. Has she gotten a response from the Republican Party?
Just starting it up.
Okay. So, okay.
And I had a raised eyebrow there, and I'm thinking, oh, let's hope that there's no looking for excuses not to do it.
Well, yes. I mean, look, I can see them saying, oh, you're just trying to point out, you know, something.
Yeah.
Fine. You can make the political points you want, but you can also, you know, put up or shut up on this matter.
When it comes to helping kids. Quickly, it kind of brings up a point that I actually had a very interesting discussion on Saturday concerning, you know, again, government. And the idea is, well, the Republicans and this person who I think is more conservative said that the people should be taking care of each other, that that local organizations should be taking care of each other.
Huh.
And okay, fine. Okay, I disagreed and I had this discussion, but this is a case where we're doing it the way that they want to do it. We're going to try to raise money through individual contributions. I don't think that's the permanent way of making sure that a problem is solved. But at the same time, here's an opportunity for you to show us that it works.
Yes, because there was something that I heard, I believe, yesterday from the acting director of FEMA. And it's an acting director because, you know, Trump fired the last one for daring to say that FEMA shouldn't be disbanded. And by the way, since that time, Trump has changed his mind and no longer wants to disband FEMA. Needless to say, this interim director was very proud. He was crowing about the response to the Texas floods and said something along the lines of, locally led but federally supported, you know, that we had this great response to the Texas floods. No, they didn't. No, they did. I mean, FEMA especially, because Kristi Noem, you know, now requires her signature on anything that costs $100,000 or more. And it caused a 24-hour delay in FEMA's response. Do you know how many lives could have been saved in the first 24 hours? And again, it always comes back to saving a buck versus a life with these folks and saying, well, you know, people ought to take care of themselves. I pay my taxes for that. I pay my taxes so that, you know, whether it's wildfires in California or a tornado in Chippewa Falls or a hurricane in Florida, that, you know, in all these places, there aren't enough resources locally. Nationally, we pull it together and we can help the niches of the country that have an issue. And I don't understand why there is an entire political class that has such a problem with that. Unless it's for the more nefarious purposes of, you know, we got enough means to take care of our own, and that's what we're going to do, screw the rest of you.
Well, and it's been proven. It's been proven over and over again that for every dollar that you invest in these programs, you get so much more back, three, four times the amount back. So the idea that, hey, like Tom Tiffany said in his op-ed to the Pilot last week, well, the biggest tax cut in American history and lower and middle class people are going to get back this amount of money. Well, the amount of money that you get back is nothing compared to the amount of benefits that could help save a life or keep your family out of poverty or any other aspect. Again, in terms of, yeah, maybe at the end of the day, you'll get $5 more on your paycheck you know, every 2 weeks. But in the end, it's going to cost you a whole lot more. I mean, he did not bring up the fact that I've read, and I hope it's not totally accurate, but I have no reason not to believe it, that folks who are on the Affordable Care Act on the marketplace, they're going to see their healthcare costs go up 75% because of this bill.
Yes.
I mean, great. I'm getting a small tax cut, but my premiums are going to go up 75% if I want to have health care coverage.
But they only want to focus on the one. Yep. They only want to focus on the one. And when you mentioned, by the way, Congressman Tiffany's letter in the Wausau Pilot and Review justifying the mega bill, I mentioned earlier, and I'm going to say again, I would commend to people go back to the Wausau Pilot and Review and read the response that was put up by somebody named Brandon Lutke from Wausau. Just a very good point-by-point takedown of what it is Tiffany wants you to hear versus what is actually in the bill.
It was wonderfully done, too, because it was very, I would call it, professorial.
Yeah.
It was not an emotional response, and sometimes
the
same thing. But yeah, that we get overly emotional because there is a reason to be emotional when you feel like people's lives are being affected in a negative way. But at the same time, I think it's a much more effective way of going about it. But say, hey, yes, he appreciated the fact that Tom Tiffany actually responded, because sometimes we don't hear all the time from people like Tom Tiffany after a vote like this. But at the same time, there was things that were left out of the congressman's response. And again, I agree 100% with you that anybody that would like to get a little bit more information generally about what was put into law with this so-called Big Beautiful Bill would be, I think, advised to read that letter to the editor and other articles that truly try to get to the word that may be operative is big when there's so much to it.
Mm-hmm.
We're continuing to find out more and more and more about what's in this bill.
Oh, yeah. And that's by design. The same people that criticized the Affordable Care Act and all the other things for being too big created something truly big and bloated and a true boondoggle. Just a couple of seconds left, and I have to follow up on your trip to Vegas. The third-party company that screwed up your ability to access your funds in your bank, has this resulted in any heads on sticks yet, or at least an apology from somebody along the way?
No. I mean, the thing is, I kind of understand, in a sense, they're trying to protect us. But the bottom line is, I think in this era, doggone it, we should be able to talk to a human being.
Thank you.
That's the bottom line on it. Yes. I mean, I can understand almost everything else, but the idea that I could not get a human being on the line in order to help me out. That was the thing that was infuriating.
Yeah, and especially somebody, you know, close to home, not overseas, who has no vested interest in getting things done on your behalf quickly. Chad Holmes catches local updates on 98.9 WXCO in the Wausau area or on the Civic Media app. Thank you, Chad. We'll talk to you later on.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Coming up, we're going to have a local update and talk to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets and Joe Specky as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matinee on Air.
Get ready, Wausau. The 8th Annual Mun Wausau Festival is back, July 26th and 27th at the People's Sports Complex. It's fun for the whole family. Enjoy thrilling sports tournaments, vibrant dancing and singing competitions, and mouth-watering cuisine you won't forget. It's one of the largest Mun festivals in the Midwest, and you're invited. Tickets are just $11 at the door. Kids under 10 and seniors over 65 get in free. Don't miss the celebration of culture, community, and tradition. See you there.
Matinee on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matinee on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And good morning once again, everyone, and welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, we are also available on YouTube.com. YouTube.com. Go to the 98.9 WXCO channel to see live our local segments and also be able to go back and see previous segments, including unedited interviews with our guests as well. It is overcast. It is 70 degrees, a few sprinkles falling in the area as well here on this Thursday morning. It was quite a weather Wednesday.
Oh, it certainly was.
In fact, we had a tornado warning in part of Marathon County. We had severe thunderstorm warnings as well late yesterday afternoon. I was on the air with some weather updates to try to keep people informed on what was going on. Boy, and as well, as I was driving home yesterday after leaving work, it was downpour is not exactly the right word. Man. It was coming down in buckets.
Yeah.
And even overnight, I was, you know, sleeping, and then I'd wake up once in a while, and I would hear
at times it was raining very hard as well. So we got a lot of rain in the last 12 to 18 hours. And a word that we word that we're not using very much is drought. But
that's true.
But yeah, so today expected starting off here with these overcast skies, we do have another chance of thunderstorms. Not a great chance, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. in a high of 81 degrees, so a bit of cooler weather. Then tomorrow, looking like a great summer day, mostly sunny skies and a high near 85. So
nice.
Something I wanted to mention coming up this weekend, and if you're looking for a wonderful activity and really a chance for the community to come together, it is Wausau Hmong Festival. The Hmong Wausau Festival 2025. It is going on Saturday and Sunday at the People's Sports Complex at 602 East Kent Street in Wausau. Incredible lineup of events and activities. It brings together the Hmong community and the entire community. So it really, it's a wonderful opportunity for everybody to go out and share in the joy of cultural heritage. There's sports tournaments going on, got dance competitions, singing competitions, got a variety of food and non-food vendors who are offering delicious dishes and unique products to explore, got great kids entertainment, fun activities and attractions geared for children of all ages to enjoy, got the Grand Parade coming up on Saturday at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. The Grand Parade basically kicks off the entire weekend of activities. So again, it's really a great weekend of excitement, learning, community spirit. So you can be there to compete, perform, or just enjoy the festivities. The Hmong Wausau Festival is the place to be both on Saturday and Sunday. The admission is $11. Bring your family, friends, neighbors. Immerse yourself in the rich culture and traditions of the Hmong community. So don't miss that celebration coming up this Saturday and Sunday at the People's Sports Complex on East Kent Street in Wausau.
Yeah.
And it's that time of year. There's a lot of great activities. We got the Wisconsin Valley Fair coming up, starting next week, if I'm not mistaken. So, again, lots going on, and this is a wonderful event because it's a chance really to explore different cultures and learn a little bit about different cultures, and I think just bring people together. Again, this idea that there's a right culture, a right way of being, a wrong way of being is causing so many difficulties right now in not just area communities, but communities throughout the country.
I mean, no culture is perfect. You know, every culture has its upsides and downsides, but the point is that, you know, we should be able to come together and embrace those differences. You know, even if we don't always agree on them, we should at least be open-minded and, you know, try to understand them better, you know, where they come from and what they stand for.
And to do
instead
things,
of trying to,
yeah,
divide us apart, we should try to come together. Like you said, it's not easy, but it is worth it if we take the time.
And to do things that do expose you to different folks, different people, perhaps new friends, new activities. I mean, you talk about it all the time. I mean, this in your plays and the productions you're involved in, it brings you together with people maybe you would not have otherwise crossed paths with. You'll learn from other people. You have established new relationships. I mean,
absolutely.
It's just one of those, you know, it's another aspect of expanding one's life.
There's not just one type of actor. It's all different types of people coming together, either regardless of race or a gender or sexual identity or just how much experience you have in the theater. It doesn't matter. If you want to be a part of the theater, sign up for an audition, and just be embraced in the magic of the theater. It doesn't matter, you know, who you are or what you look like. It just matters that you're willing to a try and put yourself out there.
And you could use,
in my experience, it's not easy to do at first.
And you can do that in other areas as well. It doesn't have to be just the arts or the theater, but there's so many other ways you can put yourself out there to expose yourself to new people, to new ideas, to new activities.
DEI. It's very important.
There you go. So
DEI.
Get out there and live life. Mm-hmm. Soak up life. And great opportunity with the Mugwasa Festival coming up on Saturday and Sunday. Coming up in our final segment, we will have our number for the day. We'll see if Ian can finally get one right this week. Yeah. It's a must situation.
Yes.
Have to get today and tomorrow to get it right. I don't know what the topic is yet, so we're going to have to wait for that one.
Then.
But we'll be back with that. And coming up after an information update, Pat Kreitlow will be back, and he'll be talking to Joe Sopecki, talking politics with Joe Sopecki coming up. The time is almost 8:30, 70 degrees in Wausau, here at 98.9 WXCO.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. A package of bills in the U.S. Senate seeks to help lower costs for working families. Jimmy Cuska reports.
Senator Tammy Baldwin is part of a group of legislators that have introduced the Child Care for Working Families Act, which is part of a package of bills Baldwin says will lower costs for Wisconsin families.
I've introduced a package of bills that will address the challenges that I hear about in every community every day, from the high cost of housing, child care, and household goods.
The child care bill would cover a wide range of issues currently facing child care providers in Wisconsin and across the country.
Our bill ensures that no working family will pay more than 7% of their income on child care. This legislation will also provide grants to help communities in need to open new child care centers, covering startup and licensing costs. We'll also make sure that child care workers are paid a living wage and achieve parity with elementary school teachers who have similar credentials and experience. Lastly, our bill would dramatically increase access to quality pre-K.
Baldwin said that an investment in childcare will also have other benefits.
When parents cannot find affordable care, they cannot join the workforce or go back to school to get the skills they need to land a good-paying job.
Two other bills, the Price Gouging Prevention Act and First-Time Homebuyer Tax Credit Act, are part of the package. Meanwhile, Governor Tony Evers has launched the Child Care Bridge Payment Program, which provides $110 million in monthly direct payments to Wisconsin child care providers through June 2026.
The package of bills was introduced in part because legislators say the bridge payment program does not go far enough to serve all families who need support. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Another potential big-time blockbuster hits the big screen this weekend at your local theaters. Fantastic Four: First Steps is the latest mega movie summer release, and reviews are pretty good. The film, which stars Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, and the Bears' Ebon Moss-Bacharach, is currently pulling an 87% certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're wondering about the plot, well, I don't want to spoil it, but let's just say there's a lot of superhero-type stuff happening. If you're tired of franchise or superhero films and want a good scare, you have two options this weekend. The first has only one review, and it is negative. The second is called Together, and it is pulling a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Together stars Dave Franco and Alison Brie, and follows the story of a couple who decide to move to the country, which sounds great in real life, but in the movies, it is never a good idea. If you like the supernatural and the Franco brother that isn't Creepy James, check it out. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Scattered thunderstorms are possible today with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop into the low to mid 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, we celebrate democracy and what can make it stronger, what reforms are needed. I got all-star guests for the entire show. This is going to be a special one, folks. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
We're going to hear from Joe Zepecki in just a bit. First, we're going to wrap up our conversation with Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets at the opening bell, where the markets have opened mixed as hopes for a trade deal between the U.S. and the European Union are keeping some fresh records in sight. But Wall Street's also looking at earnings from tech giants like Alphabet, the parent company of Google, and Tesla. Sean, as we look ahead at what's happening on Wall Street there, we've gotten into the leading economic indicators, the impact on the tariffs. But I want to go just take a step back to a conversation we had last hour about cryptocurrency. Two legislators that want to make sure that those ATMs that are going up all over the place that, you know, claim to let you, you know, invest in some way or buy or purchase cryptocurrency are somehow on the up and up. And I'm casting no aspersions on state legislators or members of Congress, but this is such new stuff. I just wonder if you're, would you be as cautious in counseling people to approach those crypto ATMs as I would be?
More so. You got to remember, my training is in anti-money laundering, anti-fraud. Crypto, I checked the figures while we were on break, and the FBI reported just last year $5.6 billion of fraud in crypto, up 45% from the year prior. So yes, crypto is gaining in popularity and impact, but it is still a very, you know, wild, wild west type marketplace. The number of fines and regulatory actions in this space are non-trivial. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is a real lack of enforcement. In other words, really almost complicit action by the federal government and the Trump administration. They're looking at possibly allowing 401ks to start investing in crypto. My strong advice is don't do it unless you can lose it, because it's basically, you know, go to the racetrack instead. You'll have more fun.
You will.
And your odds of winning are probably about the same.
And you've got a president who has made more than $1 billion off of, again, allegedly.
$3 billion.
$3 billion off of
something. Documented $3 billion since he got inaugurated off of his meme coins. Yes.
So don't look for him to be a big proponent of strong protections. Yeah. And that gets me to the final point on that, because Wisconsin Congressman Brian Steil was leading the charge for, you know, quote unquote, crypto week last week in Congress, which they claimed was going to put the first good regulatory framework in place to protect consumers, banks, the economy, small businesses, everybody on crypto. I'm going to say, from a completely uninformed perspective, I've seen the coverage of it, and I don't know if you know or have any opinion on the crypto bills that did pass and go to the president last week.
I have an opinion about those bills and the regulatory environment. Anytime you have an idea that is being pushed forward by very wealthy people who already have a lot of money as a way for other people to make money, I would be very skeptical. it's probably a great way for them to make money, not necessarily for you, you know, on Main Street America to benefit yourself. You know, stay with the tried and true. Don't get out over your skis and don't bet on something that is literally backed by the full faith and credit of nothing.
Sound advice from about your money in the markets from Sean O'Malley. Sean, nice of you to join us from Lower Manhattan there. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Pat. Take care.
All right. Let's bring in Joe Sopecki and kind of continue that conversation in terms of, you know, again, whether Congressman Stile is looking out for the constituents of his district or the folks on Wall Street. And contrast that to Representative Ryan Spouty and State Senator Kelda Roy's last hour talking about looking out for Wisconsin consumers on cryptocurrency. Joe, I think I know where you and I would put our money if we had to bet on one or the other of those groups of public servants looking out for us.
I thought crypto was just the dog in Superman.
No. Turns out that there's more. Yeah.
Not much more, but yeah. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. And the insistence by Republicans that they get to write the rules and their choices to date, which include one of the craziest parts, which is, and there's a lot of crazy parts, of the Trump economic plan they passed via reconciliation, are new rules for meme coins and how you can't do a corruption with your own meme coin unless you are President Donald J. Trump. They carved out a loophole for their boy. I mean, it's just insanity. And of course we need rules of the road and regulation. And I wish Democrats fortitude in the fights to come and to just say, you know what? Regulations and rules of the road are required and they are a good thing. We have let Republicans and conservatives define every bit of regulation as bad for business, and that's BS.
You know, Brian Stile was, a staffer for Paul Ryan before running for Congress himself in that same seat, and it just strikes me as, again, trying to give the appearance of being a wonk on something, in this case crypto, and hoping that, much like with Paul Ryan, you know, the appearances outweigh the actual heft of any legislation that Paul Ryan or Brian Stile would work on.
Yeah, it's one of the curses of the Trump era, which is Republicans now believe that they can get everybody to just listen to what they say and not to actually watch what they do. They think talking a good game is enough and that the policy doesn't matter. That's not how the world works, and they're going to find that out at the ballot box sooner than you think.
Well, that just takes us to another Wisconsin congressman, Derek Van Orden, who, again, lacking any substance, is really good at throwing out the rhetoric, and in this case, the Russia-friendly rhetoric, as he's now calling for the imprisonment of former President Barack Obama, essentially parroting what Russian Ron Johnson had to say, which was parroting what Tulsi Gabbard, another Russian asset, had to say about this whole 2016 Russia, Russia, Russia thing. Why are we talking about it right now again, Joe? He said rhetorically.
Well, the answer is that he doesn't want to be talking about Jeffrey Epstein, which right. We'll get to, I'm sure, in a moment. Yes. I think there's two ways we need to talk about this particular piece of it. One is how, like, just stupid it is. And then the other is the more serious take. So let's start with the stupid ones. First of all, Derek Van Orden recently protested, perhaps a bit too much, that he's his own boy and he doesn't work for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? That was just a couple weeks ago.
I do. No, he had a colorful word that he used, that he is not one of those people for Donald Trump, not one of his little, let's say, puppets. And that lasted an hour.
Yeah, and he's not doing a very good job of asserting any independence or doing anything other than just following the orders and saluting, you know, President Trump and saying, yes, sir, how high, sir, no matter how absurd. And so now let's talk about the absurdity of this Obama conspiracy that Trump is blathering on about. Like, they are claiming they have Obama dead to rights on a secret meeting that took place in early December of 2016 about Russia, Russia, Russia. That is a meeting that I have read about in multiple books, including books from people in the meeting, like former National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes. And after that meeting, Obama went out into the press room and gave a national press conference saying that Russia did not hack the voting systems and impact the actual votes of the 2016 election. And you have now National Security Advisor, former Senator Marco Rubio, who led a three-year investigation via the Intelligence Committee that concluded Russia used active measures to try and influence the 2016 election. So that's the absurdity, is they're claiming a conspiracy that everyone from Barack Obama to Marco Rubio has come out publicly and said Russia tried to influence it. They didn't actually change vote totals. So what the hell are we doing here? But here's the very serious part. Uh-huh. Unless you want to weigh in on the absurdity.
Take it.
It is deeply, deeply troubling to have a president of the United States from the Oval Office falsely accuse a past president of treason. You know, we worry about red lines. We talk about approaching or crossing red lines. This is incredibly dangerous and incredibly harrowing. And shame on every Republican who knows better, which frankly should include Derek Van Orden. Whatever you think of the guy, he's not an idiot, right? He might be out over his skis a little bit. He might not be the brightest member of Congress, but he's not a dum-dum. He knows better. And all of these Republicans should know better. And the fact that they are willing to go, well, that's just the cost of doing business in the Trump era, to have that level of accusation levied by a sitting president is deeply, deeply troubling and underscores the need for voters to excise all of this rot from our politics.
Well, and there is something dangerous and harrowing, as you said, about Trump making these claims, these false claims against former President Obama, going so far as to post AI video of Obama being arrested and put into prison. But there is this reason why Trump had to use manipulated video showing Obama being, arraigned and charged with crimes. And the reason is because we have actual video of Donald Trump being arraigned and going to court and being convicted of 34 felonies. And when you are a convicted criminal in the Oval Office and you want to make sure things don't get a little bit worse by your name showing up in some way, shape, or form, we don't know exactly the degree, in the Epstein files, boy, you're going to go nuclear. And that's where they're going, is they're going nuclear on Russia and Obama. Because, again, when you got a convicted criminal, you got no place else to go except desperate.
I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah.
Is a schoolyard taunt.
Right.
Not a way to govern this country or to conduct yourself if you are the person responsible for the decision whether or not to launch nuclear weapons. I don't know how else to put it. Mm-hmm. This is it. The presidency of the United States is a serious job for serious people. And many of us have known for more than 10 years how deeply unserious Donald Trump was. I am glad to see more voters, particularly on the right, recognize that and say that before, unfortunately, Republican members of Congress are doing so.
Joe Specky giving us the update on what has truly become silly season in a terribly serious way. A local update is next for some of you. Others, some final news and notes here. We'll also check in with James Kelly from our Civic Media Newsroom in Chippewa Falls. Tomorrow I'll be in Oshkosh. We'll be talking to UWO Provost Ed Martini, also State Representative Lee Snodgrass, and Winnebago County Executive Gordon Hintz. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, James, how are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Joe and I.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. with Ian Welsh. I'm Chad Holmes. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll have our number for the day quiz. Mm-hmm. But something I talked about with Nancy Stentz, I'm not sure if I talked to her about it on air or off air, because I was talking to her both when we were on the air and off the air, but mentioned a posting yesterday on the news site Axios. And they have a national newsletter. And from time to time, I bring up the point that folks who believe or try to promulgate the idea that there is a liberal media, they don't understand what a liberal media is, because we do not have a liberal media in the United States of America. And Axios is supposed to be this sort of straightforward news site. And this is what they put in their national newsletter yesterday. President Trump, in terms of raw accomplishments, crushed his first 6 months in historic ways. Massive tax cuts, record low border crossings, surging tariff revenue, stunning airstrikes in Iran, modest inflation. Yet poll after poll suggests most Americans aren't impressed. In fact, they seem tired of all the winning. They say then why it matters. Well, Trump appears to be losing by winning. The more he does, including issues beyond his legislative wins, the more the general public, especially independents, shrug or recoil. This paradox is unfolding in what could be the very best chapter of his presidency before tariffs push prices higher or midterms pose risks to his GOP majorities.
Give me a break.
The idea that... The only thing I will say is you can use the term historic both as positive or negative.
Yeah.
I would say maybe his first 6 months have been historic in a negative way in terms of much of what he's done. But the idea that the Axios is trying to frame this as Trump has come in has just been incredibly good in his first 6 months is ridiculous.
It is.
And actually, there was a very interesting point made in a newsletter that I get every morning. It's called A Cup of Coffee with Craig Calcaterra. It's a baseball newsletter, but it also involves some news and politics and thoughts from a more liberal point of view.
Right.
And Calcaterra says, the most charitable interpretation of Axios' framing is that they view political news as sports, and can only contextualize it in terms of who is winning at any given time, to the exclusion of all other things. He says that in the framing of the above passage, it's roughly equivalent to a sports columnist complaining about how Alabama beat Mississippi State by 4 touchdowns, yet somehow got passed up in the polls by a Michigan team that barely escaped Penn State with a last-second field goal. And that is something that I have found very frustrating about media as well. They frame it in a very sports-like atmosphere. Yeah. Last year during the election, CNN would call it, when there was debates, debate night in America. We're on election nights. Election night in America. Like it's NBC has football night in America. And they have all this.
Pump it up with all this unnecessary energy. It's like, can't we take it for what it is supposed to be, a serious conversation about what the candidates stand for, not try to turn it into like the oh, I'm trying to think of a good analogy.
Like Monday Night Football.
Yeah, you know, Monday Night Football. Like, not everything has to be a sports analogy. Can't we just like have a serious conversation without all the hype and adrenaline? It's like, oh, who's more popular? How many ratings is this going to get? It's like, can we stop trying to publicize every single thing about this?
And I remember last year during the presidential debate between Biden and Trump, they had them come out there with this loud music. It was like they were being introduced into a wrestling ring.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. And also
it's
real
about the showmanship with these people.
Exactly. And you have this list of everything that Donald Trump has passed. Yes, you can call that winning because he's got these Republicans kowtowing to him. But how about actually delving in to the impact? What do these laws mean?
Yeah, who's being affected by
them? Exactly. So often it's all about winning or losing. Hey, you got it through.
We know the tax cuts are for the wealthy, but But what is everybody else giving?
And you can do it it can be in a very straightforward manner.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you are somebody that truly believes that tax cuts for the wealthy is good for the economy, well, then try to say what this is going to do. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's just this sportification of politics has to end. And we have to start going into I would call boring analysis of policy than trying to gin up excitement over the horse race or anything else involved in it.
Yeah.
But we're going to gin it up and actually have a scoreboard here and act like sports here because it's our number for the day quiz.
Yeah, we
have the big scoreboard with Ian. And this week it's 0 wins and 3 losses.
Yes, it is.
So that means in order for him to get a passing grade, he has to get today right and tomorrow right.
Yes, I do.
So our number for the day involves the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
The Packers have started training camp. And our number for the Packers is, how many NFL championships have the Packers won in their more than 100-year history?
Okay.
Your choices are 11 championships, 13 championships, 15 championships.
You know what? I'm going to say, Dad, I hope you're listening because I could really use your help on this one. I'm going to say 13. 13 is my final answer. I'm going to say 13.
The Green Bay Packers have won 13 NFL championships.
Yes.
1 out of 4. So that means tomorrow it's all on the line.
I am so happy I got that one right.
Can you get a passing grade tomorrow? You'll have to find out tomorrow. So, Ian, have a good rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Matt and Air on Air next on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. United Healthcare has just confirmed it's under investigation by the Justice Department over its Medicare billing practices. The company says it is complying with both criminal and civil requests. Lawmakers in Washington may be on summer break, but debate over releasing the Jeffrey Epstein files continues. House Speaker Mike Johnson tells CBS's Major Garrett,
I've never seen the Epstein evidence. It wasn't in my lane. But I have the same concern and question that a lot of people do. And look, I think the president
This is not a hoax, in other words.
Oh, it's not a hoax. Of course not.
The president has labeled it just that. Mr. Trump is headed to the Fed today. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
He'll join a tour of the Federal Reserve Building, which is currently in the midst of a heavily criticized $2.5 billion renovation. The visit comes as the president has openly gone to war with Fed Chair Jerome Powell over his decision to keep interest rates steady.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.